Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Praise the Lord, guys. Happy Easter. Happy Good Friday to everyone that's tuning in live from their homes right now. It's a strange season that we're in. It's a strange thing. All my 25 years of salvation, having been delivered, just as Pastor Anthony Farrell's wonderful song that he wrote that we just worshipped along with. In all those 25 years, I've never ever had an Easter like this. I don't know about you. An Easter in lockdown, an Easter when we can't gather together physically, and I'm here right now in an empty building. But the word that I'm going to speak today is to homes that I'm praying are full, filled with you guys that are there safe, that you're there together with your family and still able to hear the word of God. Because distance is nothing to the God that created time and space and matter. And I want you to help me to pray right now. Every one of you that believes in this season right now, that God has a word for you, that God has something special for you, I want you to help me to pray right now. Lift up your hands, lift up your voices. It's in your own home. Lift them up right now and help me to pray. And let's agree right now. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, the name that is above pandemic, above coronavirus, above COVID-19, and in fact, any other name that can be named, the name of Jesus. And as we gather together, as your family dispersed in different homes, but still together by your Spirit, we pray right now that you would receive glory in this time, that you, oh God, would receive a reward for your sacrifice. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would flood every house right now with your presence. Touch every family, touch every person that is watching right now with your love and with your power in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you've got one right now, to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 9. I'm going to be reading two verses. And I want to speak to you today on this Good Friday about understanding sacrifice. Understanding sacrifice. And Hebrews chapter 9 goes on in verse 27. It says, "And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him." Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, and he came once to be that sacrifice, but he's coming again. And when he comes back, he ain't coming as the lamb. He's coming as the lion. He's coming back to take over everything and take back everything once and for all. But today we remember that great and terrible day that we've come to call Good Friday. I've always tried to work out why it's called Good Friday, because it's about some really terrible events, and the reason why it's become that has become obscured over time, like many things, as time, as years and decades and centuries and millennium pass by, some things just become obscured. But it's a day that, although it didn't look good at the time, it has definitely become good for everyone who understands the significance of it. And it's a day that speaks of sacrifice. Now, when you speak that word sacrifice, it can conjure up all sorts of things in our minds, especially in our modern society. Maybe it conjures up something that is just outdated. It's just for old times, or it's weird, or bloodthirsty, or whatever it is, or dark even. In normal times, it can be a very misunderstood idea or concept. But if you know, we're not living in normal times. And in the times that we're living in, it's actually becoming more of an actual reality. When you sacrifice something, it's normally something that is valuable or important. Otherwise, it's not a sacrifice. And you willingly give it up, usually to obtain something else for yourself or for other people. The dictionaries kind of define this word sacrifice, and it's become very relevant in the day that we're living in. We see our NHS doctors, we see the nurses, care professionals, we see cleaners. Sometimes, let's remember the cleaners and the porters, the security guards, the paramedics, the ambulance drivers. These are all willing, they've been willing to sacrifice even their own health and their safety for other people during this pandemic. We see bus drivers, we see refuse collectors, or as we like to call them in England, the bin men. We even see them making sacrifices. We see supermarket workers, we see packers, and we see people on the tills and the counters. We see food bank volunteers, and even politicians, even our very own UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, putting themselves on the line during this time. Even people not in frontline jobs have been asked to sacrifice something during this time. For some, it's a business. They've been shut down. They've been told that they need to close. And there's a sacrifice. Maybe it's freedom to go out. I know for people that love people and love the outdoors, it's a sacrifice not to be around different people. Extroverts are going through changes right now. Introverts have been practicing for this all of their lives. But even still, there's still that need of something. Something has been sacrificed. What about time with family? Parents and grandparents and grandchildren and family, friends. Sacrifices have been made at this time because there's a need. Suddenly, making sacrifices have become something that everyone can understand a little bit more, I think. But the key to this sacrifice thing is what it's supposed to achieve. It's no point just making an empty sacrifice. There has to be something for it. And all of the people that I've mentioned, all of the workers, all of the professionals, the healthcare people, are doing it to keep people healthy, to keep people safe from this invisible enemy. But this thing has to achieve something. Everyone in this pandemic who is making some type of sacrifice is doing it to help other people to live. And that's what sacrifice does. But here's the thing. For something to live, something else has to die. And that's where we come to Jesus. When you talk about Jesus, some people still today in our modern society, with all of our information and all of our internet studies and searches and accessibility to information, there's still loads of people that don't even know who Jesus is, or they think he was a myth, or they even think he was maybe alive but he was a good teacher, or maybe they don't think that he even existed, that he's just a figment of people's imagination. But he was a real living person. He was born, just as the Bible said, in the place that the Bible said, when the Bible said, how the Bible said. And he was historically verified by literally a mountain of evidence from eyewitnesses and even from haters. And you know when even your haters start talking about you that there's some truth in that thing. And if that evidence is to be believed, and I believe it with all of my heart, he did amazing things when he was on this earth. He healed the sick. He cleansed people that were unclean and outcasts. He taught amazing things that even form the basis of many of our modern government systems and our ethical behavior even today. And he even raised people from the dead. And he also claimed something that no one else has ever claimed in this way before. He claimed to be the Son of God, the creator of all things. But after living like that, the age of 33 years old, he was suddenly arrested by his enemies. And after a legal trial, he was crucified. This is so relevant for where we're at today because this happened on the 14th day of the Jewish month of Nisan. For us here in 2020, that happened yesterday and today. Jewish days are figured out differently to our Western days. We start in the morning, most of us do, and we go on until the night, and then the next day starts in the morning. But the Jewish day, coming from the book of Genesis, starts in the evening, and then it goes on. This was the feast of what the Jews called Pesach. And we call it Passover in English. And at this feast, every family would sacrifice a lamb, an innocent animal. And they were told that they had to roast it. And they would roast it on a cross-shaped skewer. The skewer would go all through it and the cross piece would come behind its shoulders and they would roast it whole over a fire. It couldn't be boiled. It couldn't be eaten raw. It had to be roasted. And it had to be consumed, all of it, on that day. And then its blood would be taken and the blood would be put on the cross pieces of the doors of every household, the entrance to every household. And the blood of that innocent sacrifice would be a sign that the people that were under that blood would be saved from destruction. That was the first Passover. But then when Jesus was alive, hundreds of years after Moses and the children of Israel came out of bondage in Egypt, on that Passover, he was taken in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was taken before the rulers of the day, and he was mocked, he was beaten, he was abused, he was whipped until his body was almost unrecognizable. And then he was condemned to death. He was forced to carry a cross. The cross was an instrument of execution that the Romans, who were then overseeing the land of Judea, and it was their form of execution. He was then forced to carry his own cross through the streets of Jerusalem to a place outside of Jerusalem called the Hill of Golgotha, which literally means the place of the skull. There he was laid upon the cross, and nails were taken and driven through his wrists and through his feet. And he was attached to that cross, and then that cross was lifted up in public before everyone, and he was there, left to die. But you know, one of the most incredible parts of this whole sacrifice scenario to me is that God, the Creator, foreknew that it was going to happen, and he made his plan. I mean, if you know, God's got a plan. God's never taken by surprise. He's always got a plan. The book of Revelation, the end book of the Bible, the one that speaks of the end times, it says in Revelation chapter 13:8, it speaks about a lamb, this lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. You know what that means? That means that God was ready before any one of us was ever even thought of. Before humanity came into existence, before the first humans made their mistakes, God already had a plan to redeem, to buy back, to make new, to make right, to save. The Creator weren't surprised. He knew that man would mess up. And let's face it, man, if we're honest, you know, we mess up in so many ways. I don't know about you. I'm married. My wife lets me know how many times I mess up. Hallelujah. But even if you're single, you mess up. You know you mess up. And the thing is that death was the consequence of decisions that the first humans made when they messed up. All they had to do was follow what God wanted to do, follow his instructions. But instead, what they did is they wanted to do it their own way. They wanted to become their own God. They wanted to make their own judgments and decisions. And as soon as they did that, they unplugged themselves from the source of life. And the consequence was that death entered creation. It wasn't God's idea. It was humanity's doing. And we mess up continually, even now. This ain't rocket science. We continue this selfish decision making even today. We eat too much. And we exercise too little. And we become unfit and unwell. Some people smoke for pleasure and damage their lungs. We make cars for comfortable travel that pollute the atmosphere. We make plastics for convenience that cause chaos in the seas. We go to war over oil or politics for power. The list goes on. So the Creator's plan to get us out of this was to substitute his own perfect son in our place, to pay our life debt, and to satisfy the eternal requirements that were needed to overturn death so that we could be reconnected to the author of life. And it happened on that Friday on a cross outside Jerusalem. Jesus' final hours on the cross lasted from approximately 9 a.m. our time to 3 p.m., a period of about 6 hours that was spent in agony. Imagine it, he was whipped and beaten, blooded, bruised, beard torn out, punched, his eyes closed, his back leaking blood, sun beaten down. And then after 6 hours, with his blood pouring out from all of his many wounds, every wound taken for you and me, he eventually cried out, "It is finished." And then he died. He completed his work. That's what that meant. He'd finished the job. He'd finished the work. He'd done it. He'd accomplished what nobody else could do. He'd paid the sin debt that was owed by every single person who's ever lived in the world and who is alive today, so that humanity, you and me, could be restored to our place of eternal connection with our Creator, our Heavenly Father. And that is something that we can look forward to when this life ends. We receive it now, but it goes on even after this life ends. Someone needs to praise God in your house right now. Thank God for that. When he did that, all of a sudden the doors of the prison that holds everyone as a captive, waiting for eternal destruction, all of a sudden crashed open. Those doors of fear and doubt and guilt and shame crashed open. The things that were keeping us locked in and bound opened up, and we had the possibility and the opportunity to go free. Now all that is needed is to change your way of thinking and trust in and believe in Jesus, that he is who he says he is, and he's done what he said he would do, that he is God the Son, that he is the Savior. That's all you got to do. Trust and believe and turn to him. When that happens, you can step out of that comfortable cell of selfishness, and you can step into a brand new eternal and spiritual way of living. It's an amazing thing. And I can explain it all day long, but it's better off being experienced for yourself. That's what we call salvation. That's what we call being saved. Born again, born anew, new creation. Something happens, there's a transition that takes place, there's a transaction that takes place. And all you do is you give God all of your wrongs. And because of Christ, he gives you all of his rights. That you can be born again, connected, reconnected, loved, forgiven, made new. So what's next? What needs to be done with this new understanding of sacrifice? When they took the lifeless body of Jesus off the cross, and he was dead. He hadn't fainted. This wasn't a fabrication. He was dead. The Romans, who were in charge of his execution, Roman centurion, plunged the spear into his side, piercing his side, going through his heart and his internal organs, and blood and water poured out, the Bible says, which shows that he was dead. His blood was done. He was gone. They took his lifeless body off the cross. Heaven and earth went black. They put him in a borrowed tomb. And they rolled a massive stone over the entrance because his enemies wanted him to stay dead. There was nothing more that they could do because another feast was about to begin. That's where we end the story on Good Friday. The sacrifice has been made. But now what? So how does that affect you? If you're watching this and maybe it's the first time, maybe it's someone's invited you, you don't know much about God or about church or about Christ, but you've been listening, what does it mean for you? Do you understand that God the Creator thought that you were valuable enough to do all of this for you? He did it for me when I was a drug addict, when I was a criminal, when I was dark and lost and broken and lonely, and I didn't think anyone was able to help me. He did it for me 25 years ago, and he thinks you're valuable enough that he did it for you as well. So my question is, are you willing to accept that you need this new fresh life of hope and meaning and purpose and forgiveness and freedom that Jesus Christ died for you to have? If you are, if you know that you're something's got to shift, something's got to change, you know, and you're willing and you accept it, and you something in you is starting to do something right now, then pray right now and ask God to forgive you because of Jesus. Forgive you for not taking the time to know him. Forgive you for not taking the time to try and connect with him through your life. Forgive you for doing your own thing all these years. Ask him right now because of Jesus. Ask God to forgive you. Not because you're good enough, but because Jesus was good enough. And his sacrifice was good enough. The book of Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10, it says this. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, if you openly declare that he's in charge, he's the one who's above everything else, he's the Savior. If you openly declare that and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and we're going to get there on Sunday, hallelujah, then you will be saved. You'll be forgiven. You'll be reconnected. You'll have life. And even when this thing, this body that we live in, even when it goes, when we breathe our last breath, when it turns back to dust, you will live on. And you will live with God forever and ever. And there will be no more time, and there will be no more tears, and there will be no more sickness, and there will be no more death. You'll be saved. And you'll be alive forever. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Right now, if you're listening to this, take a moment and just pray. Cry out to God in your house.
Get on your knees if you want to. Stand up, lift up your hands, look down, beat your breast, do whatever you've got to do. But pray that prayer right now, in this season, right now, and give yourself to Jesus and let Jesus give all of himself to you. I'm praying for you guys, man. We're praying for you that you will come and become part of the family of Jesus Christ in every nation, of every tribe, every tongue, people from every background joining together in that one life of love of Jesus Christ. But then for believers, those of you that are church-going people, those of you that are locked down right now, those of you that believe, you've believed, you're already in this life, you've already experienced this life, maybe you've grown a little bit dim, maybe you got a little bit lax, maybe you got a little bit slack. What do you got to do? If you're already believers, there's something you can do too. Once again, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says this, and this is to you right now. It says, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Give yourself to him. Let your body be a living and holy sacrifice. There it is, that you become that living sacrifice right now, the kind that God will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Man, in this pandemic, I hope that you've changed the way you thought. I hope that you've got your eyes off of distractions. I hope that you've put your eyes in your heart and reattuned your life back to the life of Jesus Christ and the life of the Holy Spirit. Let him transform you and become that new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you. God's got a plan for you. Even now, he's got a purpose for you. And when we come out of this season, when we get out of lockdown and we get back into life, you're going to know God's will, which is good and pleasing and perfect, because we're going to come out of this time. We're going to come out of this place, and we want to come out of this time and this place with our families safe, with them healthy, with our lives on track and in time with the rhythms of God. It's time to straighten up your crown. It's time to shine in the darkness. It's time to give Jesus a reward for his sacrifice. And have no fear. Might be Friday today, but Sunday's coming. Would you just pray with me right now? Would you lift up your hands? Would you just, right where you're at, close your eyes? Every one of you that's watching right now, take this moment in your house, in your home, wherever it is that you're watching from. Would you take this moment and just lift up your hands and just thank the Lord? If you need to pray and you need to worship and you need to just cry out to God right now, pray. Pray for your neighbors right now. Pray for the people that are around you, that they would come to know this living relationship with a living God. Come on, lift up your hands.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Go to vomanchester.org for more information.